going to go ahead and call our April 10th, 2014 Code Enforcement Board meeting to order. Madam Secretary, if you'll call the roll.
Ms. Lucas?
Here.
Mrs. Himes?
Here.
Mr. Bourne?
Here.
She's teasing me. Mr. Smart?
Here.
Mr. Harrington?
Here.
Ms. Kundig called and sent me a message saying she had to leave town suddenly, so she will not be here today. And Mr. Brown?
Here.
Mr. Sino is here.
All righty. You want to announce the changes to the minutes, Amy, and
oh,
then we'll take
them? Yes. There, okay. Mrs. Himes was actually here last meeting, or, well, the February 13th, 2014 meeting. I neglected to include her.
Okay. Are we doing corrections to the minutes now?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Do you
okay.
have more?
I have quite a... If, let's go back to board action, the last page, and...
This is my new dragon software.
Oh, well, it started dragging.
I'm verbalizing into a... to try and make it faster, so...
unless I'm misunderstanding...
Yeah, it's a computer, it's not me.
about the dollar amounts. This restated her motion of $15 a sign plus $500. Is that 22.5?
I don't know. I just wrote down whatever.
Okay,
I didn't
well
do the
we
math.
Need to co- we need to correct these figures. I don't think the math is right.
Okay, I just wrote down what was stated. So, is it 22?
Well, please correct me if I'm wrong.
You're trying to get that total cost on there, Mr. Harrington?
I'm trying to get where you come up with...
I come up with it because it was in my notes.
Okay.
I didn't do the math.
In other words, it says
$15... Times 150.
Times 150 plus 500.
Yeah, we got to calculate this.
Okay, that's correct. None of this is wrong?
Well, that specific one is looking at
okay.
what you're referring to. $15 per sample, 150 times is 22...
Plus 500.
Plus another 500.
Yeah. And then the original one. What was that? It says Mr. Jackson, meaning you, said this was only slightly more than what was previously ordered.
Yes. That was in reference to the other case. That.
Okay. The original case.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Which they hadn't paid.
Right.
Correct.
Okay. Well, maybe I'm incorrect here. Is it okay? Math is correct. Then I need to go back to school. Sorry.
They're enrolling, Neil.
They're enrolling soon.
Any other changes for the minutes? With those noted, Chair, will take a motion to approve.
Second.
Motion made and properly seconded. Any questions? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Chair will entertain a motion to excuse Ms. Kundig's absence today.
So moved.
Motion made by Ms. Himes.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Smart. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Any members of the board need to disclose any ex parte communication for any of the matters appearing before us today? All righty, seeing none, Madam Secretary, announcements?
Yes, Mr. Brown, we have a few cases that are in compliance that aren't referenced on the agenda. We'll start with item 16, case number CEB041440. For 919 North Atlantic Avenue. That's in compliance as of April 9th. Number
16? Yes.
Yes. Okay. Number 23, CEB041426 for 611 Byron Avenue. It's in compliance as of April 7th. Number 26, CEV041429 It's in for 141 Pierce Avenue, compliance April 8th. 27 CEB 041430 for 206 Pierce is in compliance as of April 9th, and I believe that's it. Everything else should be reflected on the agenda.
All righty. All members of staff will be testifying today. Please rise to be sworn in, please. When we call you to the podium to speak regarding your cases, we do ask that you speak into the microphone as our proceedings are being recorded. Are there any attorneys present this morning? Yes, sir. What's your case?
That's the first one.
Lien review number one. All righty. That's the order we'll take them in. Lien review number one. So you can come on up. Mr. Jackson, if you wanted to go first, and then we'll give an opportunity. Your last name, sir?
Slick. S-L-I-C-K.
Mr. Slick. Yep. Okay.
We will concede the properties.
Well, Mr. Chair, good morning, members of the board. Anthony Jackson, attorney for the City of Daytona Beach, code enforcement. And extra stuff. Okay, we're on lien review number one, 736 Iowa Street. And as Mr. Slick said, the property is in non-compliance. And this situation is one that's, we've kind of talked about this a little bit in the past. It doesn't come up very often. The general policy of the board is that if a property is not in compliance, that it's not considered for a lien review. This circumstance is a situation that's a little different in that it's a property that's under short sale. It is not in compliance. No one intends to bring it into compliance. The anticipation, according to the application, the applicant, is that the buyer who will purchase it under short sale will be demolishing it and bringing it into compliance. There's no contractual agreement to that extent, but that's the intent expressed in the lien review. The lien, the total amount is $15,000. Food. I'm sure that's one that was just maximized out to 15. The position of the city is that the city is requesting a reduction to the amount of $2,000. And we recognize there's a number of things that were pointed out in the application, specifically that there's really no money in this deal, and we understand that typically there isn't any money in the any short sale deals, but there is a relief of, which will be about $100,000 in mortgage as a result, which is not really none of our business per se. However, what this would leave is an owner's responsibility to just cover the $2,000 of the $15,000 that have accrued, that was the experience of the community dealing with the property and the necessity for the staff to come in. Deal with the property as well over the time period.
Mr.
Smith, this be subject to being done if the board wants to do it, to be done contemporaneous with close. What I don't want to do is grant the relief and then it doesn't close.
Right, this would be contemporaneous with closing. Or that's what we the deadline for this to occur.
Okay. Mr. Slick?
Respect everything that was said. I want to just go into a little bit more about what happened to Ms. Sparrow. She fell into some hard times in 2008. I have a hardship letter here that goes into great detail about the things that she's gone through. I don't know if you guys want to see it or if you want me to summarize it. She had reduced income, as we all did at that time. She had medical problems. She had to move to Maryland to take care of her father, who's currently dying. There's also financial affidavits in here as part of the short sale package, which I have permission to share with you. She brings in a little over $4,000 a month, and her expenses are about $4,400 a month. My fee has not been paid. She paid me $200 of my fee because she doesn't have any money. So it can be $200, $2,000. She can't pay it, and she's not going to pay it. So we're in a situation where I totally understand that that should be paid. The buyer won't pay it. The buyer doesn't care enough about the property to pay it. He's given his max. It's the amount that the bank said it's either this or nothing. And so he's paying the $20,000. I don't have any authority to speak for him, but I've already asked him about this. And he's not going to pay another 10% to get this lien release. So, again, it's a strange situation because she's in Maryland, and she abandoned this property in 2008. She's not coming back. And if you want it, you can have it. She'd give it to you, but it's wrapped up with a mortgage. So what I was hoping we could do is do a conditional lien release upon closing and upon the property being torn down and brought into compliance within a certain amount of time. That way, the buyer gets his release, but it's on him to actually comply with whatever you determine is proper and needs to be done. That way, the property gets demolished, which it needs to be demolished, and everybody can move on and go their separate ways. If not, I believe the case is in active foreclosure. At some point in the next year or 3 years, the bank will take it over, and you know, you guys can get the money from them or something. I don't know, but I don't know of any other way to do this. She just does not have the money and cannot pay it, and the buyer will not pay it. He's a cash buyer. He's ready to close. The only thing we need is a lien release, and we can close it in a couple weeks. And if you guys would like to see any of the details, I'd be happy to.
Okay.
And I'll represent that was shared with us, so I don't have any
questions from the board.
It's just like, what guarantee do we have on, you know, that that's going to get done? Can we condition the release to the fact that if for some reason, after 90 days, whatever, it's not either demolished or put up to code, the lien is reinstated? I
think you can do that. I think you can absolutely do a conditional lien release. If you think about any sale of property, the bank releases the lien at closing. It's conditional upon them actually getting the money. If they release the lien and you never send them that check, the lien's not released. So there's a condition to every lien out there, and I don't see any problem with doing that and making it very clear and bold and informing this buyer, this is the condition. And if you don't do it, you're going to be stuck with this $15,000 fine. And I've been thinking about it. I can't think of any other way to get this thing done.
If I can just say this, that condition is not unique. It's always there. I mean, if they, once the sale is complete, if the buyer takes on a property and don't improve the property, you always can come back and lien them. I guess the difference would be, can we spring back and bring the lien at its current status at the maximum, or do we start over and let it build? Our desire is for a property to be in compliance, so the springing on the maximum lien doesn't necessarily help us a whole lot. And the unfortunate thing is that what they need for a closing typically is to actually have the satisfaction. And once the satisfaction is there, the satisfaction itself is irreversible. We can't go back and pull back the release or pull back the satisfaction. So that's over with. So it's us dealing with the after effect or the after buyer, which, like I said, it's not an uncommon thing. That's our usual circumstance. So I guess it's really we get it all done now or and believe it will happen or question whether it'll happen and choose not to do it. That's really where we are.
Well, there's no question that we have the right after closing to go ahead and restart it all over again. You know, if you feel comfortable with that. I would like some sort of mechanism where we could, if it does nothing, to reinstate the $15,000, but I don't know if we can.
Yeah, I've been able to.
Satisfaction is going to eliminate it, period.
I've been able to do that in the past. In fact, maybe it was with Mr. Bourne's decades ago. But I've been able to do that where, with cash buyers, with separate agreements with the city. and have those types of conditions. But it's really, in effect, holding something off an escrow and, you know, folks hanging on, you know, those types of things. So at least a contractual agreement from a cash buyer. If I fail to do this after so many days, I agree that this will spring. And then we have the cash buyer sign in, the seller sign in, and the city sign off, and then we have a contractual agreement. In this situation, I don't know if that's practical possible because of the necessity of the bank release and the things that happens with short sales. Short sales are complicated, I understand.
Yeah, and that would work if this was just a house that didn't involve a short sale. That would work fine. The problem in a short sale is there's an arm's length affidavit that says there's none of these side deals going on. And if you disclosed the existence of the side deal, they'd just deny it. So I think from your perspective, I would suggest maybe trying a conditional lien release and seeing if the bank and the buyer go for that. That would offer you the most protection. Otherwise, I mean, I would obviously accept the satisfaction of the lien and allow us to get this thing closed. I don't know why anybody would pay $20,000 for a piece of property and then let it start getting leaned again. Another question I have is the $50 a day, is that the maximum you can do for something?
No, $250 a day. $500 a day.
$1,000.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, my suggestion to you is you're 15 days out.
Right.
If you need to restart that process, I mean, this thing is in such bad shape that I think you'd be justified in going to the max right away if he doesn't bring it back into compliance, and then, you know, 15 days later.
The only negative thing is that it's not only the $15,000. There's a statutory requirement of at least 90 days to wait before we can do anything on that land. But, you know, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Ms. Hahn?
But when we do that, we will be, in other words, prolonging.
Well, he's saying conditional, and I'm saying we always have the opportunity to go back after the fact and restart the lien again. Mm-hmm. And at $1,000 a day, it would only take 15 days. Yeah. So, you know, we can do that. I'm concerned about this conditional situation because I think that with a short sale, it may be a problem.
Yeah, and I agree with that. The only reason I would suggest that is to give you a little bit higher level of comfort, but it could very well be a problem with the bank. And we don't have a release at all yet to show them. But
any other questions from the board? Mr. Jackson?
Dilemma? No, I mean, what Mr. Slick is saying, we agree with. Our thought is, if we can even have that simple conditional release, regardless of how truly the strength of the enforcement, we won't see until we try and enforce it. We're operating with a belief that in 90 days, within 90 days after the property's purchase, that would be brought into compliance, we're willing to do that. Now, if that's still going to hurt the ability for the transaction, I guess it really doesn't matter to them. But if that's something that, if that simple language from the board would be a part of the condition of the release, we're okay with that. And we still would do the release for the closing date and just make the determination of compliance in that 90-day period afterwards. And if it's necessary, then to go back, then as I don't know if the buyer had any notice or opportunity, but maybe by letter have that buyer well aware, or at least at closing well aware of the condition of the 90 days to demolish, and by understanding that condition be subject to severe sanctions if they fail to demolish or fail to come into compliance. And then we'll raise those issues when we return before the board if we should return with a new case. So I don't know if that's something that Mr. Slick believes could get this thing through. We clearly see the benefit of getting it through, so we'd like that to happen. But we don't believe that the buyer is necessarily being as reasonable as he can in terms of understanding the overall circumstance here.
You've talked to the buyer, Mr. Slick, and he's...
Just be clear, I don't represent the buyer.
Right,
I talked to the buyer.
That.
And my first discussion with the buyer was that you're not getting a release at all. You know, just take the property and fix it, and you know, we'll buy you some time, but you're going to have to fix it. He's like, no, not going to do it. Because there would have to have been an exception in the title policy to do that. He said no. And then I asked him, can you offer me something that I can give to the city, money-wise? He's like, no. Because his original offer is much less than what he's paying now. The bank got him up to the 20, which was their absolute bottom line. There's nothing there.
I don't know client privilege or any of this. Is this your impression that this is a person buying this property to flip it? Or buying this to live in it?
No, it's definitely an investor, a savvy investor. I mean, they're going to buy it, you know, level it, and I think probably put a house on it and then try to sell it. But it's definitely not, he's not moving in. It's not that type of buyer. It's somebody that buys a lot of property and knows how to value property such that he pays exactly what he wants to pay. And knows what he's going to, knows what he expects to get out of it when he's all done with what needs to be done, and he's at his max, and he's, you know, can walk away and get any one of 100 other properties that fit his criteria.
Yeah. Well, I guess we're on good faith here. What we want to do is get this property cleared up, torn down and worked on, and I don't hear anything that guarantees that that's going to happen, so maybe we just have to go on some sort of good faith. I don't like that, but...
Mr. Sin, I know that the time limit has been thrown around of 90 days. Is it possible for this to happen sooner?
It is, but as I'm trying to explain to you, that there's no guarantee
right.
that it's going to happen at all.
Right.
The only thing we can do, if we agree to do this, is after the fact we can reinstate, because it's an in rem action, it's actually against the property, not against the person, the lien again. So we can go up to $1,000 a day, we can do it in 15 days, and we have to wait the 90 days if we want to foreclose. So we do have that protection. But that's it. It's the only protection we have. I mean, once we give them a satisfaction, that lien is gone.
Right.
And I can see the bank going to agree to a short sale without a satisfaction.
The 90-day time period is me talking with Ms. Garcia, and that's something that he's willing to allow, understanding what it would take if they're going to clean, demolish, get the demolition permit. We know it doesn't take a full 90 days, right. but whatever. Allowing someone who has some true intent to work their process. We want to allow that if that's what they truly intend to do. So it's a little bit of us actually giving added leniency and greater interested in trying to make this happen.
Well, if we satisfy the lien, we really can't put any timelines on it today, could we? It would just have to come back to us in 90 days.
We can say it. It's in our record if we say it.
On the record that we're going to agree to satisfy the lien at closing, with the understanding that if for some reason this doesn't get taken place in a certain amount of days, we intend to reinstitute the fine.
Okay.
We can do that.
Okay.
Now, the question is whether we can probably going to have to go back to start, scratch, and have a case, and then have testimony and then make that decision as opposed to just reinstituting the $15,000.
Okay. So we'll come back, non-compliance, so on and so forth.
Right.
Gotcha.
We'll look at his efforts. I'm sorry. Yeah, we'll look at the criteria we have. We'll look at his efforts. We'll look at the conditions, to how egregious it is, and so forth, and the understandings that we've had in place.
I have a question. What happens if the buyer claims he's going to demolish the building comes back to us and says, "I don't have the money right now to demolish it"?
After he's bought it?
Yes.
Well, then I guess it goes to...
here's one good... If I may, here's one good thing. I don't know if he's a... Mr. Slickin indicated he's a active investor. If he's a local investor or even in the state of Florida, he's going to have the effect of our lien. So he has a greater incentive not to be affected by a lien that will attach to all property he owns, as opposed to someone who has no assets.
What Tony's saying, so everybody understands that, is that If we redo it in a new lien, mm-hmm. there's a new lien on the property. It not only affects this property, but affects all the property that are the same. So it's really a detriment.
Gotcha. Why it would have, right? Yeah.
So if he's playing us, he'll be played at the end, quite honestly. I mean, there's no benefit to him trying to play the board.
Let me make sure I got it. So the matter really before us is whether to satisfy this lien and then make it noted that we want to reinstate or go through the process again if this property is not closed in 90 days.
The violation
is not resolved in 90 days.
If it's not remedied in 90 days, right, after the sale.
Okay.
Which, when you say it's satisfied, we reduce to the amount that we're requesting. That's our request.
Right.
The only issue is we want $2,000 when we want zero.
Right.
So, I don't know how that gets covered as far as the amount.
Yeah. My thing is,
you still got the amount hanging
out there. Since the buyer is not going to make it.
It just hangs again.
If she's saying if we assess a reduced amount, who gets
it? Looks like it's not going to happen.
Yeah. Well, the only thing, though, if we're reducing the amount, then it's still not satisfied. That's your problem. You're going to have a $2,000 lien still attached, a reduced lien. What about a partial release? Leasing against that property and remaining against all of the property owned by the current owner, which probably is nothing.
Which is nothing, really.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd rather see us, you know, resolve this so that, you know, we have had a history of trying to just clear up matters and getting rid of liens, definitely not getting funds, but getting rid of liens and getting properties up to par. What is the city's stance, Mr. Jackson?
Yeah, we'll go ahead and follow the lead of the chair and with the thought that our number one desire is to have property that's in compliance in our city. And so we'll look to moving forward in trust and in faith on this new buyer who has an incentive to do what he says he will do, except if the board so desires to release it in full for the closing, and we'll come back and deal with the new buyer if we should have a problem.
One question. When do you think the closing will be?
It's a cash buyer, so we just have to get this approval back to
as soon as the lien
bank.
And the bank approves it.
Yeah, and
might be 30 days.
It could be
less.
A couple hours.
Oh,
it could be 5 days. It could be 30 days.
Okay.
unfortunately, whenever I send anything to the bank, I don't know. But I've got a very, very motivated staff who will harass them to death until they give us what we want.
Gotcha. Ms. Himes.
Okay, but we release this.
If we release it,
we start
over. We would have to start over.
Because the buyer has said that he's not paying.
Right. We would have to start. If we release the lien today, the process would have to start over again. It's not our typical, you know, pay now or reverts back to the previous amount, so on and so forth.
Okay, and if he chooses not to buy now, then we're still on this property.
Well, if nothing happens, it stays as is, correct?
Yeah, we have a deadline for this acceptance, which will be we typically say closing. I like to give a time period and closing so that we can actually have a time that this ends.
Gotcha.
So
it comes first.
Yeah, so, you know, 30 days for closing if we anticipate it to be done. I think that was a good question of when, if you think it can be done in 30 days. If it's realistic that there's a possibility it could be 60, we're willing to say that number. But we need a definite time that we can.
Yeah, because we would need to come back here and to change that number. Is that correct? That's not something.
To change the.
Like if I said, I think we can get it done in 30 and then it's 29 days and we can't get it done.
We'd rather play it safe on the front end so you don't have to come back.
So I would say 60, but hopefully a week.
Okay. All right. We're fine with that.
So to answer your question, Ms. Himes, we would make this contingent. If it's the board's desire, we would. The lien would be released, if you will, pending closing within 60 days or it reverts back to the current amount. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Closing or 60 days, whichever comes first.
Right.
Then, as soon as the closing is done, code board comes back into this picture again?
We start counting our time, sir, yes.
And you go out and inspect the property, talk to them when they're going to get this done, and the clock starts ticking for a whole new...
For the new owner.
Yes, for the new
owner.
When the new owner takes possession, then we start the case over again. However, if he doesn't, and the sale doesn't go through...
It reverts back.
Typically, we don't do an order, I don't believe, with the reductions, do we?
An order reducing?
Yes.
I've done them before.
I'm just thinking it may be helpful at closing to actually have the document that informs the buyer of their post-purchase expectation. Or even if it's a letter, if we do it by letter. But just something that the city's understanding.
I can put it in the comments on this form.
Or a copy of the form or minutes. If you don't believe that it'll hurt the overall transaction, I think it would be useful for us to know that we put that buyer on notice.
But any side deals, you can't contract with them.
Absolutely.
But I mean, I'm going to tell them absolutely that here's the satisfaction, and if you don't fix this within 90 days, they're going to come take your property that you just bought.
Yeah, I know that all I'll be doing in 60 days or 90 days or 120 days is reminding you guys, It just makes me feel better to know that you all have something that says, yeah, this is what we were expecting.
I have no problem with notice.
Yeah, notice is fine. Any kind of notice would be fine.
Yeah, that's fine. Under the document form, that would be fine, and that'll be in our records. We'll give you a copy, and you can use it however it'll benefit the facilitating.
Subject to closing. Right. Subject to putting me on notice by Mr. Jackson.
Any other questions? Chair will entertain a motion to grant a relief or release of the lien upon closing within 60 days, which would put us... Or whichever comes close first. What is that? What's today? April?
10th.
April. This is April. Yeah. So we're looking at June 10th, which would be June 4th is our next cutoff. So.
Well, it wouldn't be a real cutoff condition. This will finalize our status of this case, but you're giving them until June, whatever your date, June 10th.
Okay.
So as soon as we make this ruling, we're finished.
Yeah, this case is done.
Okay. Relief of lien, subject to closing no later than June 10th, or the fine is reinstated at its current amount?
Yeah.
I don't know that you need to add that, because if it's not doesn't close, then it never goes away. So I don't know that you would...
We're just covering ourselves.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It don't hurt anything.
Is that the proper?
Yeah. I would agree that staff would place them on notice. Yeah, they need to correct the violation amongst the house.
Courtesy notice to please get rid of the property, upon closing. However you want to word that, Amy.
Then how many days?
60.
Or
closing.
Staff request compliance within 90 days. And we'll put them on notice of such.
90 days from closing.
Closing, yeah.
So moved. And if you want to redo that again.
Oh, no. Amy got it. Motion made by Ms. Himes. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Bourne. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Slick.
Thank you, y'all. Have a great day.
All righty. Moving on to lien review number two, case number CB0909179, property located in 1901 North Atlantic Avenue, Indy Atlantic Realty Incorporated. Is the property owner here?
Yes, sir.
If you would come forward, please, sir, and state your name, relationship to the property owner, and be sworn in.
Good morning. My name is Ronan Bazak, and I'm the one who bought this building from... Mark Bernstein, I'm the one who put it in compliance.
Can't hear you, sir.
Can you raise your hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide?
I do.
Is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And can you state your name again for the record?
Ronan Bazak, R-O-N-E-N. Last name B-A-Z-A-K.
Mr. Bazak, you're stating you're the new owner?
I'm the one who bought it from Mark Bernstein, which was Indianic Realty, and I'm here on, also on his behalf. He's out of the state. And I'm the one who put it in compliance even before I bought it.
Okay. We'll hear from staff, Mr. Bazak, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond. Okay, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Jackson, what can you tell us?
Yes, this property or the violation itself, and I'm trying to remember the notes I was given, but we recognize that the new owner, once he obtained it, was relatively reasonable and quick in bringing it into compliance, but this property had accrued to a $20,000 lien amount. It was a violation that set and was ignored, and conditions that was conditions suffered by the community required the inspection of the officers. We were asking to reduce this to, because of the efforts of the buyer once he obtained it, to reduce it even below the 10% and reduce it to $1,500, recognizing that it accrued to well over $20,000 and it just maxed out on our, under our maximum program to the $20,000 amount.
Okay. Mr. Bazak, are you in disagreement or are you in agreement with that reduction?
I'm in disagreement. I have some notes here. First, the pictures that you see here, I want to note that this is from the other side. This is from the neighbor's side. If you really took the picture from our side, you would see that we keep the building in a lot better condition than what you see here. That's the neighbor's yard. On our side, is we always kept the building in a nice condition. We always complied with the building. Personally, I have another building that I own, and I always complied with the building within time. What happened here is the notice was served to a tenant, and the owner was not aware of the... you can just look at the violation. There's really questionable if it is a violation, because if you imagine the other side, which you see the other side where the white is, all clean and nice, the violation was a complaint for the neighbor that because of the wind from the ocean, sometimes she gets some papers going under the fence. I'm not sure it's a real violation, but, you know, we rather comply with the city rather than start digging if it is or it's not. So as soon as we find out that there is a problem, we took care of it right now, right away, and I just don't see a justification for $1,500 or $1,000 or something like that, or something that it, we were not even served. You know, the tenant was served.
Mr. Jackson or Mr. Garcia, how long after Mr. Bazak's purchase of the property and acquiring of the property did it take for it to come into compliance?
The original complaint was opened on 6/24/09.
Right.
Okay. Indian Atlantic was the owner at that time.
Right.
They were mailed a certified letter, which they received, and we have proof of that, on 7/10/09. Okay. The property was posted 9/2/09. So they were very well aware of it, regardless of whether a tenant was there or not. However, once Officer Klig was advised that this gentleman now had, I guess, partial ownership or ownership of the property came into compliance within 5 days. The notification was done 4/12/13, and the property came into compliance 4/17/13. So the fact that the allegation is being made that the first property owner was not notified that it was given to a tenant, you know, we beg to differ that because we have the proof that it was signed for and they did receive it.
Now, is there a way you can tell me
5 days that the property came into compliance was this gentleman was notified? That's the reason why we're taking into consideration the reduction to bring it down to the amount that we are.
Okay. Mr. Bazak, what is your relationship to Indy Atlantic Realty?
Well, I'm here on his behalf. He was my ex-partner on a different business, and I'm the one who ends up with the property.
At the time of notice, did you have ownership in Indy Atlantic Realty?
No, I didn't. But as talking first, I'm not a first hand here, but I was under the understanding that the certified mail was sent to a tenant. But again, this is my position. I'm not sure that that's what happened. That's what I was told, and he's usually not lying.
Well, the reason I am asking, yes. You're defending someone you may not need to defend unless you had a business relationship at that time. So at the time of notice, did you have a business relationship with Indian Atlantic Realty?
I had some business, yeah, a relationship.
subsequent. Okay. Ownership?
Ownership, no.
Okay. Ms. Hines had a question.
My question is, I believe you stated that those pitches were not the correct pitches.
No.
What you
said? No. I said they were taking from the wrong side of the fence, from the neighbor's side of the fence. So what you see there, that it doesn't look that nice, it looked like it mishandled, that's because that's the neighbor's. That's the neighbor yard. It's a private yard. We can't get in there. If you look at the other side, you see the white stuff. Our side is beautiful, cleaned and beautiful and taken care of. The other side of the fence is the neighbor yard, which we have no access to.
Mr. Garcia.
Okay. The complaint did come from the neighbor,
okay,
which is what we're looking at now. The egregiousness of the violation was that their retaining wall, which was facing their side, was eroding, causing all that erosion and to come under from their fence. So whether we were on their property or not, the violation and the complainant was to the neighbor. And there's one, if you go back one, that's their side. Go forward one. Forward one.
Yeah.
That's the side of the gentleman's property.
Okay, when were those pictures taken?
4/4/2013.
So we have no pictures of when the actual violation.
This is actually 4 years afterwards, and that violation remained for
four years. Afterwards, those
after issue notice.
I have a question for the violation. I mean, let's say the neighbor complained about erosion due to a wind coming from the ocean. I mean, how is the neighbor responsible for this wind coming through? All we did is, at the later, just to comply with it, is lower the fence so the air not going to go through the neighbors. But I'm not sure this was really our a responsibility to make sure that the ocean wind not going to get to the owner, to the neighbor that live right on the ocean. I mean, we didn't do nothing. It's not that our debris went in there. I mean, we did something, water came from the No, all we did is the wind was eroding at the neighbor, and I don't see how it was our responsibility. But again, you know, I always was in a good relationship with Inspector Clay, so I mean, instead of going and challenging it, we just went ahead as soon as I heard about it and fixed it. But I don't see that it was a legit complaint to begin with, as far as I know. I mean, and I'm not a specialist on it.
Mr. Brown, he may, and you may be, were about to inform him of this, because as he said, it is a first round form, but this isn't a rehearing. It's not a situation of trying to determine whether or not he was in noncompliance. That already happened. The question now is just whether or not y'all are willing to
Right. Well, I was something along those lines, Mr. Jackson. Mr. Bazak, you objected to the $1,500 reduction in fine.
Yes, sir.
If, for instance, the board wanted to hear your offer, what would it be?
I mean, I think whatever administrative cost is, it'll be fair because you did spend some time here.
Figures. Don't leave it open. Administrative costs can be extremely high.
$300. I don't know what it is. I mean, I'm not.
I'm asking you for a figure.
In other places, usually that I know that we have something like that, it would be like $300 in South Florida.
Okay. Any questions from the board?
And Justin Dax, any prize for asking for $15?
So you asked me something? I'm sorry.
$300.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Say that again. I'm sorry. Yes, the city is asking for $1,500, which, as I pointed out, was less than the 10%, which you typically would be requesting, recognizing that once we notice this gentleman that he did take care of it.
Are we, Mr. Jackson, the reason I'm asking is just so that we're clear. Are we treating Mr. Bazak as a new owner who brought the property into compliance or as a...
I have that concern out of I've heard what he's had to say. I think our initial position was treating him as once he became owner, bringing it into compliance in 5 days. Now, I understand now hearing him speak that it seems that he had some involvement in the property. Whether or not he was compelled to do anything, that's a whole other story, and that's not anything we determined then, and I don't know if I can try and or rightfully trying to terminate now?
Except knowledge with the previous owner, I had no ownership on the building or any interest in the building before that. And after I became the owner, and I end up with the fine, which I'm the one who put it in compliance right away, and I right away after I find out about it. So I was doing anything I could not to be in compliance. The other thing, I still want the board to consider the magnitude of the violation. It's really questionable if it was a violation or wasn't a violation. You're looking at the wrong side of the fence. Our side was always taken care of. Always.
Let me save you the trouble there.
Yeah.
It would not have gotten this far if it was not a violation. So, and yes, some of the violations that people consider very frivolous, if you will, but they're violations. And, you know, a sign sitting out in your yard that you did not have a permit to put out, some would consider that frivolous, but that's a violation of code. I'm going to just caution you to not bring up the issue of arguing code, but acknowledge that code was violated and that you did fix the problem. And so what I am hearing, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Jackson, upon Mr. Bazak's purchase of the property and acquiring of the property was brought to compliance within 5 days.
That's correct. Yeah, that's, we acknowledge that. We express that. And even with that circumstance, we believe that the conditions being what they were for as long as they were would warrant, as well as the necessity of inspections and so forth and proceedings, would warrant the reduced fine to at least $1,500. And so that's what we're asking.
Okay. Any motions from the board? The city is asking for a reduction of $1,500. The respondent is asking for a reduction to $300. So those are the figures that are out there before us now. With the facts speaking for themselves, based upon what has been given to us in testimony, the current owner received the property, and within 5 days, the property was brought into compliance.
I would suggest that we take a look at the 5 days and figure out a rate per day. $100 a day, $500.
Okay.
Make a motion.
Ms. Hines?
Make a motion.
Well, I thought Ms. Hines had a question.
$100
today. Okay.
For 5 days.
There is a motion on the floor to reduce the fine to a total of $500. Is there a second? Motion dies to lack of a second. Ms. Hines, you had a question?
No, I was going to make a motion for $1,500.
Is that your motion?
That's my motion.
Second.
Motion made to reduce the fine to $1,500. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Harrington. Any discussion? Well, I'm just going to just put this out for discussion. That is, we're assessing a $300 a day fine for a current owner that brought the property into compliance, just so that we know what we're doing, and you know, just so that we're fully aware. All righty, seeing no discussion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Chair voting nay.
Roll call vote.
All right, we'll do a roll call vote. Ms. Lucas? Ms. Himes?
Yes.
Ms. Mr. Borns?
Yes.
Mr. Harrington?
Yes.
Mr. Smart?
Nay.
And Mr. Brown is a nay as well.
4-2.
Motion carries 4-2. Mr. Bazak, what the board has done is reduced the amount of the fine to $1,500. Our fines are usually payable within 30 days. Would that present a financial burden to you?
No, sir.
No, sir?
No.
All right. Fine payable within 30 days or the fine reverts back to its original amount.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. All righty. Moving on to our hearing of cases. Case number 1, CB 1013114, John Charles Bergengren. Property located at 65 River Dunes Drive. Is the property owner here? Okay. You can come on up, sir. State your name, relationship to the property owner, and please be sworn in.
Name is David C. Leet. I'm an architect, 140 South Grandview, Daytona Beach. And
give me 1 second.
Sorry.
Go ahead, sir. Sorry.
Just you want to
just repeat yourself.
You said David
C. Leet, L-E-E-T-E,
Raise your hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Leet, we'll hear from staff, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond. Your last name is Leet and not Seeleet, right?
Leet.
Leet, okay. Just wanted to make sure.
If my mother named me Ephraim, I could have been Elite.
How about that?
As opposed to D-Leet.
Gotcha. All right, Mr. Jackson, what can you tell us?
This is the cracked wall, and it's come before you several times. And it was first notified back in July 2013, and they actually were doing something about it. They pulled permits, they hired Mr. Lee, and then everything stopped. And up until, I guess, within the last week, the inspector really had no explanation to why everything stopped. And as a result of the time period, primarily, we do now have an explanation, but, and I'm sure he'll tell you that explanation, but because of the time period that now has transpired, the position of the city is that you impose a fine of $100 per day to a maximum of $10,000.
Okay. Mr. Leet, what can you tell us, sir?
First, I'd like to apologize for not being here at the last meeting. This is the procedure was a little bit different from what I was used to. I'm used to producing a set of plans, and then it sort of disappears and it gets done. In this case, I told Mr. Bergengren that I would take care of the wall, so I am morally responsible for taking care of the wall. The plans that we got permitted, and the piles of dirt that have occurred, that was part of the getting the original wall built or fixed. We had to take the back pressure off the wall, so that's why it looks like woodchuck had been in there. And then about the time of the after your last meeting, and about the same time that I think it was, what, 2 weeks after that, that we were talking about imposition of fine, we found out that the wall was going to cost about $5,800, which was much more than our original estimate. And I told the contractor at that point, I've got to look at it and come up with a better solution, because it was just $2,800 on a 2-foot-high wall, you know, 70-some-odd feet long, was just a little bit ridiculous. About 2 weeks after that happened, I had gotten some material from a contractor that I used to work for in Daytona that's now in St. Pete. There's a chemist that was working on a product over there that waterproofs and strengthens existing walls, whether they be EIFA systems or whatever. And so I investigated that, and it turns out that this product will fill gaps in the wall. The second coat has rubber in it, which takes care of expansion and stuff like that. And then the third coat is a colored coat, which is consistent all the way through. You just tell them what color you want, they produce it, and then if you ever have to repair something, tell them what the color is, they send it out, it's the same thing. This entire system is probably going to cost about a third of what the original system cost. I got with the man about delivery on this. We can have material delivered next week, and at that point it's a matter of simply applying it to the wall. You can't do it while it's raining. But, you know, as long as you've got a dry wall, I think it takes about a day between the coats. And so it's not an extended process anymore. It'll actually go faster than building the original wall.
Have you seen some examples of this somewhere?
I've got the pictures of this.
Have you personally seen them? anywhere where this has been installed?
No, I've got pictures of where it has been installed, though. And everybody seems to be happy about it. The original contractor that I talked to, I've worked with for many years here in Daytona, he just ended up working for somebody else over in St. Pete, and that's how he got involved with it, because he saw it happening on the beach side over there and thought it was rather interesting and sent me all this information actually a while ago. It just took a while for it to sink in and have that 2 o'clock in the morning thing that says, "Dumbo, go look at it." So that's where we stand right now. And what we'd like to do is just be able to revise the permit application, which probably take about, 15 minutes of my time to do, resubmit it so the city knows what we're doing, and get on with fixing the wall.
If it was the board's desire, Mr. Leet, would you be able to have this done and fixed by May 8th?
What's that, about 3-week period, give or take? I'll beat them until they do. I, as far as I'm concerned, I'm morally responsible for this, so fines are going to revert to me, not to him, because I promised him.
Mr. Jackson or Mr. Fitzgerald, with regards to the original citation, has everything been fixed but the wall?
Yes, everything was fixed except for the wall.
Okay. So staff's recommendation is for $100 a day fine. Respondent is asking for amending our previous order till next cutoff.
April 30th.
April 30th would be the cutoff, Mr. Leet, for this to be done.
We're at the 8th. That's about 3 weeks, right?
3 days. No, it's just that April 30th.
3 days.
So, roughly 20 days.
Can I weasel you out of a day? We'll go with it.
Any objections?
Do you get a motion?
All right.
Oh, you mean from city? No, we've worked with Ms. Lee for forever, and we're sure if he says he'll get it done in that time. As I said, had he given this explanation, we probably wouldn't even be pushing so much right now, even though it has been a very long time.
Gotcha. Chair will entertain a motion amending our previous order and allowing the respondent until April 30th to bring the property into compliance to be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Bourne, seconded by Mr. Smart. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. What we've done, Mr. Leeds, giving you till our next cutoff to bring this property in compliance. You can just send us some pictures and save yourself the sleep, and we'll be happy.
Very good.
All right.
I'll be able to sleep at night. Interestingly enough, my brother lives next door. And that's the house that I was in when I was a senior.
All right.
And so I've been gone for a few
years. All right. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Leet. Case number 2 is in compliance as of March 3rd, 2014. Do I need to read the case numbers, Amy?
Great compliance.
No,
it's up to you.
Identify it.
Case number CEB011402 is in compliance as of March 3rd, 2014. Case number CEB1113128 is in compliance April 1st, 2014. Case number CEB11131 is in compliance April 1st, 2014. Case number CEB1113131 is in compliance April 1st, 2014. Case number CEB021421 is in compliance April 3rd, 2014. Case number CEB011404, Jerry Weaver, property located at 604 Casson Avenue. Is the respondent present?
I am.
Ms. Weaver, if you could come forward, please, and be sworn in. You can pull the mic down, Ms. Weaver.
Very down.
Gotcha. If you can state your name and be sworn in, please.
My name is Jerry Weaver. I live at 604 Casson Avenue.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Ms. Weaver, we'll hear from staff, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond, okay? Mr. Jackson, what can you tell us?
This violation is complaint-driven. It remains in violation. Of the list, the only thing that the inspector noted different was that they painted the house. But if you can look at the pictures, this has been was first notified in October 26, 2013. And so the city is asking for a fine, imposition of a fine of $50,000 per day to a maximum of $10,000.
$50,000. Let me try again. I need your math.
A fine amount of $50 per day to a maximum of $10,000. So that case somewhere.
So with regards to the violations, Mr. Jackson, the only thing that what has been done?
May I answer that, please?
Let me hear from the inspector, and I'll give you an opportunity, Ms. Weaver.
As of this morning, the peeling paint has been abated. They've repainted the entire house.
All right, Ms. Weaver, what can you tell us?
All right. As far as I know, you all asked me to pull down a shed, which I did, in the back. You asked me to clean up the yard, which I did twice. You also asked me to pull the stuff off the roof and get the roof repaired, which I did. As for the sidewalk, I did that. The only thing that is lacking, and we did paint the house yesterday, is rotted wood on the side of one of the beams, which I have not pulled, and the plumbing, which was not done. Now, I only have one income, ladies and gentlemen, so I have to work with what I have. And I have done everything that you asked me to do, except for the rotted wood and the screens that have not been pulled. I am fixing to have a contractor look at these and pull them as much as I can, you know, because I cannot do this work. Although vertically challenged, I'm scared of heights, and I got up on the roof to clean it off twice. Okay, now I have done what you asked me to do. The plumbing, I'm working on a contractor with that. I cannot do plumbing, but I can clean off a roof, and I can paint, which I did. Most of it has been, I have been in compliance as far as I know.
Mr. Jackson?
Yeah, I guess the starting point of difficulty for Ms. Weaver's status is the inspector's opinion is only from driving by and taking pictures. She didn't call him out to inspect and point out the things that she's done for him to tell her what else would need to be done to actually bring it in compliance or whether it's sufficient. So that's a starting point. She really needs to get him out there, point out what she believes may be satisfactory so he can tell her what else would make it satisfactory if he's not satisfied. And as you can see, there are a few things, as she even noted, that she still hasn't completed, even if we were to agree with the things she's indicated. The staff, at best, is willing to go to an next cutoff, not as a desire, but at best, understanding that she believes she's done some things, and maybe she's close enough that pointing them out, she can get those things done, and we can get compliance, which is what the desire of the staff is.
Okay. All right. Based upon what the you're not a defendant.
Respondent.
Thank you. Based upon the respondent's testimony and staff's position, chair will entertain a motion amending our previous order and allowing the respondent until April 30th, 2014 to bring the property into compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So
motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Ms. Himes. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Ms. Weaver, what we've done, and we've given you until the end of this month, what I would encourage you to do is please reach out to Mr. Stinson. He's getting his business card out for you. Contact him so that he can come out and do an inspection while you're there to note what things have been fixed and what needs to be fixed so that you can save yourself a trip. And you may not have needed to come, but just reach out to the inspector so that we can get all of these things documented as to what you've done, okay?
Thank you, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Let him know
definitely what you've done.
All righty. Case number CEB011410, property located at 217 North Seneca Street. And it's the Seneca Street Trust. Is the property owner here? Okay. You could state your name and relationship to the property owner, please, sir.
Gerald McCray, trustee, 217 North Seneca Street Trust.
Mr. McCray, if you can please be sworn in, Mr. McCray, sorry.
Swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
All right, Mr. McCrea, we will hear from staff, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond. Refresh my memory, Mr. Jackson, this property was to be sold to the school and demoed last time we were here?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's really the last we know. I think we just got a fresh email that says, gained from Mr. McCreary.
Yes.
McCreary. Okay. From Mr. McCreary that's, again, the status. However, we have no indicators of that. There was a request that he bring the contract with the C because we just hadn't known anything up to this point.
Okay.
And the position was the expectation of requesting the fine at this point, but we'll look and see what we have.
All right. We'll give staff an opportunity to review the contract.
I'll provide a counsel with the deed. I'll provide a counsel here with the deed, so it's already transferred. I'm sure probably by, I don't know how long it takes the college to do their RFPs, but I'm sure the building will be gone soon.
Yes, it has. They have this new little thing here. Yes, it has been recorded 4/3/2014. And yes, it is a warranty deed from Mr. McCreary to the institution.
The case is closed for us because they're.
Okay.
Okay.
Sir.
That is up to you. But as far as this gentleman is concerned, the case is closed.
Right.
And if for several reasons, I mean, if it's closed, reported.
Yeah, it's
done.
And it's properly noticed, and it did the things that's required by the code. Understand that. It is your understanding their intent is to demolish?
Yes, with all the properties they get over there, they demolish them all. It'll probably be gone pretty soon anyway.
Okay.
So I don't know how long
it'll
take. So,
right. It's safe to say case number 8 does not appear, even though it appears. It does not appear.
We need to have a motion to close.
No, it's in your hands
close it?
At this point.
All right. Since the property has been sold, motion made by Ms. Himes to close case number CEB011410. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Harrington. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number CEB02, thank you, Mr. McCreary, 021414, Susan B. Hancock, property located at 533 North Keach Street. Is the respondent present? What can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
This is 533 North Keach. The inspector is John Stinson. This was a tenant-occupied property. The indication was that the tenant was going to be evicted. We have nothing that tells us that. The prior response we got from the owner was that their lawyer told them not to do anything until the tenant was gone. That was back in January of 2014. As of right now, nothing. There's been little effort to do anything. The staff is requesting $100 per day to a maximum of $15,000.
No communication with the owner since January?
I have had communication with the owner. The ultimate problem is that she advised us that she could not perform any of the corrections until the tenant was evicted. Well, the tenant has been evicted, and now she's moved in a new tenant without us having the opportunity to inspect. So, noncompliance.
Chair will entertain a motion. Finally responded, was it $100 a day?
Yes, sir.
$100 a day with a cap of $15,000 or until compliance is reached. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Ms. Himes, seconded by Mr. Smart. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number 011409, Louise P. Webb, property located at 418 Pleasant Street. Is the respondent present?
Yes, sir.
Please come forward and state your name and relationship to the property owner. If you're not the property owner, please be sworn in.
My name is Louise Pickett. I live at 315 Dealey Street, Webb.
Ms. Webb, okay. Mm-hmm. All right, Ms. Webb, you can please raise your hand and be sworn in.
Yes, ma'am.
Ms. Webb, we'll hear from staff, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, staff, this property is the inspector's John Stinson. He's informed me that he's been recently informed or just informed that the owner believes they are in compliance. They have not called for an inspection. We're willing to move to the next cutoff and have it inspected. Our position at today was to request a fine, but we'll look at our status and hopefully we're in compliance.
Okay. Chair will entertain a motion amending our previous order allowing the respondent until April 30th, 2014 to bring the property into compliance to be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Sporns. Did I hear you, Ms. Lucas?
Yes.
How about that? Seconded by Ms. Lucas. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number CB021422, Zachary Vangenhoven, property located at 247 Brookline Avenue. Is the respondent present? What can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
This is the driveway that I think we ultimately concluded had to go away. They applied for permits. The permits was returned for correction. They applied on 214. It was returned for corrections on 218. Nothing's been done since. I think whatever it will take, they have not been willing to do, if I understand, remember that from the inspector. The status of the case requires at this point, they were first notified November 6, 2013. The city is requesting a fine of $75 per day to a maximum of $10,000.
Let me make sure I got it right. They did the driveway without having a permit?
Yes.
And so it's completed?
It's completed, but they expanded it so they can have a zoning issue also.
And so it needs to be removed, or they needed to get an approval for it. And I think it was in the, if I remember right, in the expanded into the setback.
Right, right.
And so it had to be removed, or they had to get a variance and pursued a variance. They did do the requested put permits for to try and structure it the way they needed to structure, and it just didn't get approved. Needed the changes to get out of the setback.
Go ahead, Mr. Heron. Sorry.
They're going to have to go to the Board of Adjustments to get the change to the land use. Like the zoning?
Well, they're in setbacks, so they'd need to be able to go into the setbacks, they would need a variance, and they'd have to have the hardships in those, necessary to allow that.
About the earliest this is going to get settled would be 90 days.
But that would have been back in February, at least, yeah. For us to at least have been given some indication or notification. We don't have them here. We have not been given any indication from them that that's what they intended to do.
The recommendation is for a daily fine. Would it be appropriate here for us to just to set an amount? Because recognizing the days could add up since the job is done, really, would it be appropriate for us to have a fine set versus running a daily fine? I mean, I know it's up to the board, but I'm asking.
Well, the incentive here is not really the job is done is really the wrong, is not a correct.
The job isn't done. Isn't done correctly.
Right. The for them to be in compliance, they need to remove the driveway. And the easiest thing for them to do is say, okay, well, you don't have much, for the cost of doing business, I'll leave my driveway and enjoy it, which, maybe that's what they want to do. But at $75 a day, I don't think that's what they want to do. They want to comply, either get the variance necessary or remove the driveway.
All right. Just a little encouragement for them to get things done. Chair will entertain a motion fining respondent $75 a day with a cap of $10,000 or until compliance is reached.
Yes, sir.
Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Ms. Himes, seconded by Mr. Smart. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number 12, CB041437 is in compliance as of March 31st, 2014. Case number CB041424, Donald M. Genevieve T. Waltrip, husband and wife, and D. and Dwayne Waltrip, property located at 263 Seaview Avenue. Is the respondent present? Please come forward, sir, and state your name and relationship to the property owner. If not the property owner, please be sworn in.
Yes, I'm a partial owner of the property. My name is Dwayne Waltrip. Okay. And I solemnly, does she ask any questions?
Yes, sir.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Before we get started, Mr. Waltrip, do you acknowledge that some or all of the violation existed at the time of notice?
Absolutely.
All right. What can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
The status is this is first time before you. The photos, I think, speak for themselves as relate to the fence and outside storage. It's in non-compliance, and we request next cutoff form to come into compliance. Inspector's Tom Cleek.
All right. Mr. Waltrip, how long is it going to take you to clean this up?
Well, I've had conversation with Tom once we got informed. I've got one father. My father is under what's originally used the house. Is in hospice care. They live in Palm Bay. It's a rental. Unfortunately, it's one of them houses that are underwater. Instead of leaving it to Daytona in a foreclosed state, you fight to keep tenants in there, and it's already a $200 a month negative income. But Tom's been working with me real well. When I got informed, I thought it was fixed. One time the tenant tricked us, and we didn't do anything about it. He just recently recontacted me, and I've come over, and the other day our conversation informed that it isn't compliant now, and we've accomplished what he needs. And I just want to make sure that I'm the one that's contacted on that, and I will always have the thing kept up to par. Unfortunately, I live in Tampa now, so it's a little bit of a dilemma. Of course, it cost me 2 days of work to come over here and do this, but that's the price you pay.
All right. Well, based upon client's testimony and what we know needs to happen, Chair will entertain a motion finding the respondent in noncompliance, allowing the respondent until April 30th, 2014 to bring the property into compliance to be returned to the board for consideration of a fine but $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Bourne, seconded by Mr. Smart. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Mr. Waltrip, what I would encourage you to do is get Mr. Clegg's phone number so that you can contact him while you're here today to get your property inspected so you don't have to come back anymore.
Okay.
All righty. Case number CB041438, Freehold Properties. Property located at 716 North Wild Olive Avenue. Is the respondent present? If you come forward, please, sir, state your name and relationship to the property owner. Please be sworn in.
David Marshlag, and I'm the managing member.
Swear or affirm that the testimony about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Your last name again?
Marshlack.
Mr. Marshlack, before we begin, do you acknowledge that some or all of the violation existed at the time of notice?
I'd never received a notice. This is the first thing I received to show up here.
Do you acknowledge that the parking on the grass at the business?
I might acknowledge that there was some parking, but legal parking.
All righty. Mr. Jackson, what can you tell us?
This property is at 716 North Wild Olive Avenue. The inspector is Tom Cleek, and I'll call it Inspector Tom Cleek to advise you of the violation. Mr. Cleek?
This is a neighborhood complaint. What the complaint was is during the special events, I guess the gentleman owns a bar on Seabreeze, and he supposedly brings some of his friends to park the car on the grass. Notice was sent out. It said it was processed March 19th, but as you'll see the next picture, after it came in compliance 2 days, well, day after bike week, on Tuesday it was gone. So the property is in compliance right now. We're just seeking a repeat violation status for future events.
To find non-compliant and dismiss.
Okay. We don't need, that's right, we came to conclusion we're not going to do that verbiage anymore, right?
We don't do that.
For the repeat.
We need to find a non-compliance for a repeat violation. If we don't do that, then it's not going to be repeated.
Yeah, the standard language in our orders to effect of finding a repeat violation, but you need to make the finding of a non-compliance.
So it is non-compliant?
It's
not a repeat. According to the photos and the testimony of our inspector.
Okay.
Well, let's go back a second. He's saying it's not. So give an opportunity to respond, and then you make, they make a motion. Yeah.
Okay, I was just trying to make sure we had staff side clear. All right. Mr. Marshlack.
Yes.
Yes, sir. What can you tell us?
Well, it says on the letter here that you all sent me that I was notified on 314 and that they did a re-inspection on 3. I was never notified. The first notice I received was this one, which was to appear here. So I've never been notified of any of the. The problem that I have is that There is no parking on grass signs on both of my neighbors' houses and across the street. There is not on mine. It doesn't say it anywhere. It doesn't say anything about permit parking. And we do park on that strip. And the only problem they ever said to us, they stopped and said if we parked against traffic, that they gave us a ticket. As long as we parked with traffic, they never gave us any problem. But again, I've never been notified except for this certified letter to appear here. Nobody went to my house. I live at that house. Nobody went to my house. Nobody sent me any communication, nothing. I was never notified.
Original notice went to what address, Mr. Jackson? Mr. Clay.
Original notice went to
Freehold Properties, 2852 20th Avenue, St. Petersburg.
So you sent it on, the first violation was on the 14th, and you're saying that you were inspected on the 15th, and you sent a notice to St. Pete, and one day I was supposed to receive that notice and know about it. I had
hold on 1 second. I was just trying to confirm that you had received notice. We don't allow cross-examination at this point. You can ask questions if you want, but not necessarily cross-examination. Mr. Jackson.
Well, just for clarification for this gentleman so he understands. One, our code recognizes these types of violations as transient violations. They happen and then they're done. So the ability to do something while it's happening isn't always a real practical event, so we understand that. Secondly, our code makes it absolutely clear that you can't park on the grass in a residential situation here. So the parking on the grass or any unimproved surface, you can't park on an unimproved surface. That's not something that we require a sign to say you can't do it. It's part of the city code that you can't do it. And so it's not permitted. As you can see, the photos speak for themselves. I think he acknowledges that it was on the grass. His only complaint is that he would have liked to have enough time to run and take it off. And that's fine. We understand that, and we recognize now that it is in compliance. We're not asking for a fine. What we're asking for is merely that you make the finding that it's in noncompliance, and if you have any future violations, that he understand that he has the potential of an immediate fine as a result of that upon your finding that he's in noncompliance again.
Gotcha. Any other questions, Mr. Marshlack?
Yeah, I mean, he says you can't park on grass, yet there's signs all up and down our street that says with proper, I guess it's if you live in the and get the proper permit, you can park on the grass.
Okay. I agree what you're saying, but that's the right of way. But the vehicles here in question is on the front lawn, and right there, you're not allowed to park any vehicles on the front lawn. You're allowed to park in the right of way. Like right there, as you see, the right of way is in front. That's good. But up by your bushes there and by your neighbors right there, you can't park on front of the grass.
You talk about the portion between the sidewalk and the roadway.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's fine. But not a trail on the front grass. You're not allowed to do any type or that.
Somebody would have knocked on my door. I would have moved it. It's not.
To let you know, I did knock on the door. I did left a door knocker, but it was the middle of bike week, so I figured you weren't there. But
I mean, I noticed or anything. I would have moved it immediately. I mean, that's all. I mean, I try to abide by everything. It's just to say that I got a notice on this thing. I'd never received a notice. So.
All right. Chair will acknowledge. Chair will entertain a motion to find a respondent in noncompliance at the time of notice, currently in compliance. Do we need to have that verbiage or leave it at that? We'll leave it at that because that's in there. Okay. The chair will entertain a motion to find a respondent in noncompliance at the time of notice, currently in compliance. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Ms. Himes, seconded by Mr. Smart. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Thank you, Mr. Marshlack. Case number CB041439, property located at 1024 Atlantic Avenue, owned by 1024 Atlantic Avenue, LLC. Is the respondent present? Seeing not, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
Similar situation in that this is a parking situation where vehicles are being parked on the vacant lot. And that was, again, something being done during the bike week period. There are some witnesses that I don't believe they came, but that would have spoken to this. But the request of the city is that there be a finding of noncompliance. And the status of the property now is that it's now in compliance.
All right.
So,
Chair will entertain a motion.
I'm sorry. There's something the inspector wanted to say concerning this.
I just want to let you know that this is owned by the Summit Group, which owns Desert Inn. They did apply after I violated him. He did, and they're in the process. It's a lengthy process to get a off-street parking situation So they are working with the city now to get the parking lot improved, landscaped, and so forth. So,
all right. Hopefully they will not appear before us again for the same violation. Chair will entertain a motion. Finder responded to noncompliance at the time of notice, currently in compliance. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Smart. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Bourne's. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number 16, CEB041440, is in compliance April 9th, 2014. Case number 17, CEB041441, G&I, 7 Bel Air Plaza, LLC, and Bowl Daytona, LLC, DBA, Bel Air Lanes, property located at 2575 North Atlantic Avenue. What can you tell us, Mr. Newell or Mr. Jackson? Is the respondent
yes.
present?
Oh, yeah, that one.
I'm sorry. Respondent present?
Yeah.
Okay, you come forward, please, sir. State your name, relationship to the property owner, and please be sworn in.
I thought I was going to be in jury duty this morning, so David and I been on the phone all week.
Okay, all right. So that's okay. You're fine. State your name for us, please, sir, and your relationship.
My name is Steve Perry, and I'm the owner of Bel Air Lanes.
All righty.
Of the business, not the property, but the business.
Okay. Mr. Perry, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
You raise your right hand, please, sir. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Mr. Perry, do you acknowledge that some or all of the violations existed at the time of notice?
Absolutely.
Okay. We'll hear from staff, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond.
Real simple. The inspector, Mr. Moose, has said the status of this property is that it's a noncompliance, and the violations still exist, and he would like next cutoff for them to be in compliance.
Okay. What can you tell us, Mr. Perry?
Yeah, just a little history of what the property sold December 9th, somewhere around that. There was an initial inspection. I'm not denying I didn't get a notice. I don't remember getting a notice. I was in negotiation with the new landlords whether we were going to stay or not. Our intent was to, with the old arrangement with the lease, it just wasn't subjective to do business there anymore. We finally came up with an agreement shortly after the first of the year. So during that time, I was really focused on salvaging the lease and staying in business. I was in the building during the second inspection, and I've made some personnel change because nobody got me out of my office during the second inspection. I actually ran out in the parking lot trying to find them. David and I have spoken on the phone. I think we've worked together. We're just a few items away from being fully compliant. A couple has to do with working with an electrician. One has to do with it's a 50-year-old building, just trying to get the Ansel system that I can afford into the snack bar that fits without financially killing us. So those are the two issues that David and I need to meet. A couple of some pictures I didn't know exactly where in the building. I had to communicate that with the electrician where to move some plugs so that we didn't have extension cords. But the majority of the items are done. There's a few details David and I need to meet in the building and make sure I correct the right problems.
How long do you think it'll take you to correct these problems?
I think we're within 30 days, as long as David and I can coordinate our schedules to meet and get the stuff done.
Right at 30 days?
Yeah, maybe less than, but I don't want to make a statement I can't meet.
Dave, next cutoff or June cutoff?
May.
Well, the May cutoff is April 30th. So. It's because of the month, yeah. So we're looking at the May cutoff or the June cutoff?
Marian, I think we might ought to look into the June cutoff only because we have not been able to secure a contractor yet, and the hood system is going to take a little bit of time probably to get accomplished. If the property the manager is able to secure that very quickly, it can be done pretty quickly. However, they're going to need a permit on both of these from the city, so we've got that lag time also as far as a permit being pulled. Just like the gentleman said, we have been in communication. The notice was sent to the owners themselves, which are out of New York, through the Volusia County Property Appraiser's Office. He was present, found out later present in the building, just was not brought to the front of the building as we did the inspection. So some of these violations still exist, some of them very big violations, but he has been working with me to try to remedy these violations.
All righty. Any other questions? Chair will entertain a motion finding respondent in noncompliance, allowing the respondent until June 4th, 2014 to bring the property in compliance. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second. Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Ms. Lucas. I heard her. Any discussion? Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. What we've done, Mr. Perry, is giving you till June 4th, a little bit more time to bring the property compliance. Just please stay in contact with Mr. Newell so that you can get everything up to par.
All right, thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Case number CB041442, Century AAA LTD, property located at 601 Butler Boulevard. Is the respondent present? Seeing not, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson, Mr. Newell?
Mr. Chairman, the board, this is a property that is a three-unit duplex. Initially come in as a complaint. Currently they have corrected all the violations with the exception of a business tax receipt and some extinguishers that are required by code within 75-foot travel distance. Those are all the violations that still exist. I've had first conversation with the owner of the property this past week. He assures these are going to be done shortly, so we're looking for noncompliance next cutoff.
Chair will entertain a motion finding a respondent noncompliance, allowing the respondent until April 30th, 2014 to bring the property into compliance, be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day and a one-time administrative fee for the business tax receipt. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Ms. Lucas. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number CB041443, Milan Kozak. Property located at 606 and 608 Butler Boulevard. Is the respondent present? Seeing not, what can you tell us, Mr. Newell?
This is a property. The 606 is basically the front building. This is an apartment complex that has about five different tenant spaces. So 606 is the front, and 608 is the back. Probably, basically, was a garage at one point that was converted into more tenant space. This property has numerous violations in both the front and the back. That's where they're combined for the two addresses, and they were noticed at the one address because that's what the Volusia County Properties Appraiser shows. Numerous issues. There have been a bunch of smoke detectors that were hardwired into existing light fixtures, if you will, and some others, light fixtures that were using extension cords for their permanent wiring, which is not in compliance with code. They also don't have a license, some more extension issues, some smoke detector issues, and a sign. Had first contact with the actual property owner this last week for the first time. We're asking for noncompliance next cutoff.
Chair will entertain a motion finding the respondent noncompliance, allowing the respondent until April 30th, 2014 to bring the property in compliance, be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day, plus a one-time administrative fee of $250. Is such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Ms. Time, seconded by Mr. Smart. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number CB041444, Retail Realty Associates, 1 LLC, Daytona Mall, property located 1002 West International Speedway Boulevard. Is respondent present? Seeing not, what can you tell us, Mr. Newell?
In accordance with Florida statute, sprinkler alarm contractors are required to send us any reports where they do annual or semi-annual inspections to us with any deficiencies noted. This property is obviously the Daytona Mall, which is split into two separate owners. The first owner has basically the Burlington Coat Factory and what used to be the Dockside Imports. This Retail Realty Associates owns the rest of the complex. This was sent to me with numerous violations that were going on for the last year, many of them having to deal with the existing sprinkler system that is not in compliance. I have not received any information or have spoke to anybody with Retail Realty Associates. They're out of South Florida, I think Boca Raton, somewhere in that area. They have been notified. And we're looking for noncompliance next cutoff.
Any questions? Chair will entertain a motion finding the respondent noncompliance, allowing the respondent till April 30th, 2014 to bring the property into compliance and be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
Yes.
Oh, my. Was that?
Give it.
All right. Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Ms. Hines. Any discussion? Oh, that was Ms. Lucas. Sorry. Seconded by Ms. Lucas. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number CB041445, Andre and Odette Rondeau. Property located at 502 North Halifax Avenue, a.k.a. 209 Oak Ridge. Is the respondent present? Seeing not, what can you tell us, Mr. Newell?
This is a property that's at the corner of Halifax and Oak Ridge. It's two buildings on the same property. That's why you're seeing two addresses located here. Numerous issues with the property as it relates to some extinguishers, some unit numbers that are identifying which property is it, which property is which, some extinguishers that are missing and or not located in the proper locations, and some business tax receipt that's not applied for. Currently, as of there's some new manager that's into that business that took over about 2 weeks ago. She has been in contact with me. The previous management company and or the owners were not in contact with me. So it appears that the new manager is now notified and understands these violations and is working hard towards taking care of these violations. So we're asking for noncompliance next cutoff also.
Chair will entertain a motion finding the respondent noncompliance, allowing the respondent until April 30th, 2014 to bring the property into compliance, be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day, plus an administrative fee of $250 for the business tax receipt. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Ms. Himes. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number CB041425, Timothy D. Hudson, Sr., property located at 519 Arthur Avenue. Someone walking forward must be the respondent. If you'll come forward, please, sir, state your name. Be sworn in.
Timothy Hudson.
Can you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
I do.
Mr. Hudson, do you acknowledge that some or all of the violation existed at the time of notice?
Yes.
All righty. We'll hear from staff, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond, sir. What can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
Staff informs me, and the inspectors, Mr. Cincinnati, informs me that the property is still without permits, and he has some concern because it appears they're still working. But other than that, it's noncompliance next call.
All right. What can you tell us, Mr. Hudson?
And speaking with the building department, I'm aware of what they would like for me to do, and I will be able to meet their requirements and pull a permit.
How long would it take you to do that, sir?
30-45 days, perhaps.
Any objections from staff or June cutoff?
I will let you hear from Mr. Stinson regarding that.
Okay.
The city is asking for a reduced amount of time. As opposed to 45 days, we're asking for the next cutoff. This property was originally cited on 9/13/2013 for the same violation of working without permits. Since then, the work had stopped completely. The dumpster remained. The work was renewed again in January, which prompted another issuance of stop work order. So the entertaining of more than the minimum amount of time, the city is not in agreement with that.
All right.
Sir, may I ask you, what kind of work are you doing without permits?
Well, let me give you a little history. I purchased this house almost a year ago, and when I purchased the house, the owner, I believe she lived down in Delray Beach or something like that. She said she was no longer going to reside here in Daytona. The city was threatened to demolish the home. So I was contacted. I said, okay, I'll take it off your hand. Work had already started in the home. So that's I just really resumed it. But I am aware that I need permits. There's no problem. I can pull the permits. And I was just notified in February. I don't know about being notified in 2013.
Yeah.
The first notice came to me in February, and I've just been extremely busy. Have not had time to focus on this issue. But if the city gives me 30 days, no problem. I have.
Are you a contractor?
I am.
So you can do electrical work and plumbing.
I have all those people who work for me. That's no problem. I will get the necessary permits and get my guys in there to bring this building back up to code. And
so the building is vacant.
It is.
Okay.
It is vacant. It was an eyesore, but we're going to turn it into a nice home.
Any other questions from the board?
Well, I was just wondering, did you contact him or?
In February, I spoke to him in February.
By certified mail, I haven't spoken with you on the phone at all.
I spoke with someone from the city. Well, whomever put a stop work order on it. Yeah, so I spoke to you on the phone.
So get his car and, you know.
Yes, ma'am, I'm going to take care of it in 30 days. I'll be back here and show you the permits and everything. I'll take care of it.
We're in the, just for more clarification on that, we do indicate that we sent them a certified mail back in September, and they signed for, so... I did.
I should have
noticed. I don't think notice really.
Okay. Well. All right.
I think 30 days is sufficient, personally.
If he says 30 days, just understand when we say that, we typically have the rest of the month. So we're looking at whether or not we go to our June cutoff or our May cutoff. That's okay. And that's the reason I was asking.
I think May cutoff is...
Clarification, it was delivered, but not signed for.
Okay.
All right. Well, sir, you're a contractor. You know permits are required.
Yes, sir.
So that's moot.
I do.
All right. Chair will entertain a motion. Ms. Hines.
For our May cutoff.
All right. Chair will entertain a motion. Find the respondent noncompliance, allowing the respondent until April 30th, 2014 to bring the property into compliance. It will be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion made by Ms. Hines? Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Harrington. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Mr. Hudson, what we've done is we've given you till the 30th to get the permits in hand. If you run into any complications, please get Mr. Stinson's contact information so you can be in contact with him. He can come to the board and let us know if we need to give you a little bit more time.
All right.
Thank you. Case number CB041426 is in compliance as of April 7th, 2014. Case number CB041427, Charles Mooneyham and Myra Mooneyham, property located at 120 Pierce Avenue. Is the respondent present? Seeing not, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
This is a rental property without a business tax receipt. That's pretty much the whole story. Noncompliance, next cutoff.
Chair will entertain a motion finding respondent noncompliance, allowing the respondent until April 30th to bring the property in compliance and be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to a total of $250 administrative fee. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Ms. Himes. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number CB041428, Mike O'Brien, property located at 129 Pierce Avenue. Is the respondent present? Seeing not, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
This is the property at 129 Pierce Avenue. The inspector is John Stinson. The inspector informs me that there's been little effort for taking care of the problem. And so we're asking for noncompliance next cutoff.
Chair will entertain a motion finding the respondent noncompliance, allowing the respondent until April 30th, 2014 to bring the property in compliance to be returned to the board for consideration of the fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Mr. Harrington. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number CB041429 is in compliance April 8, 2014. Case number CB041430 in compliance April 9, 2014. Case number CB041431, LaShanya Mincy Becton, property located off of Garden Street. Is the respondent present? You come forward, sir. Please state your name and relationship to the property owner and be sworn in.
Can we take testimony on all three of these cases? They're all... All the same.
Yes. Okay. Are you? Well, let me. I have to ask if he's here for all three. Are you here for all three of these cases, sir?
Yes.
Okay.
Manager Eric Morgan.
Okay, Mr. Morgan, if you can, as soon as our secretary is ready, get you sworn in, then we'll hear from staff, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond. We've got one question to ask you up first.
Yes.
Mr. Morgan, your relationship to Ms. Mincy Becton?
The manager. Manager of the property?
You're manager of the property.
Yes.
Okay, do you acknowledge that some or all of the violations existed at the time of notice?
Yes.
All righty, we'll hear from staff and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond, Mr. Morgan.
All right.
What can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
All three of these are vacant lots that have accumulated rubbish and garbage, undeveloped, at least the They're undeveloped lots, and they just need to be taken care of by the owner. I presume when he says he's managing, must be manager of the structure that's next to it, but I'm not sure. The vacant lots themselves are where we have the trash and rubbish and debris.
Okay. All right, what can you tell us, Mr. Morgan?
There was a miscommunication with me and LaShanya. She did tell me about it, and I was doing something else, but I took care of the problem actually a couple of days ago, or actually when I found the notice on the trees.
So you just need to have it inspected?
Yeah.
All right. Chair will entertain a motion finding the respondent noncompliance, allowing the respondent until April 30th, 2014 to bring the property into compliance to be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Ms. Hines. Any discussion?
3-1 or in 3-2? How is that going to
all
work?
Three.
All three. All three.
All three.
All three.
All three.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Smart.
Thank you, Mr. Smart. Ms. Hines, do you make that friendly amendment to your motion? All righty. Chair will entertain any questions. Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Just read into the record. Case number CB041431, 041432, 041433 all have been found in noncompliance, allowing the respondent until April 30th, 2014 to bring those properties into compliance. Thank you, Mr. Morgan.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
I mean, they're in compliance now. How do I
He'll just inspect it.
Get the inspector's card information so they can come out and inspect it, and you'll be done.
Not a problem.
All righty. Case number 041434, Jacqueline Richards, Hazel Cunningham, Nathaniel McGill, property located off of Garden Street. Is the respondent present? Seeing not, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
Same situation. I believe it's, if I remember right, it's across the street or, but it's related conditions. Rubbish and garbage on the lot and just need it cleared.
All righty. Chair will entertain a motion finding the respondent non-compliance, allowing the respondent until April 30th, 2014 to bring the property into compliance to be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Did I hear you again, Ms. Lucas?
Yes.
Seconded by Ms. Lucas. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number CB041435 is in compliance as of April 3rd, 2014. Case number CB041436, Stephen Ferguson, property located at 324 Lincoln Street. Is the respondent present? Seeing not, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
Property is in non-compliance. We're asking for an exit off to come into compliance.
Chair will entertain a motion finding the respondent non-compliance, allowing the respondent till April 30th, 2014 to bring the property into compliance and be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Ms. Lucas, seconded by Mr. Smart. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. That exhausts our agenda. Do we have any miscellaneous business?
I'm sorry. Well, we have some folks, so I'm not sure.
Who are they visiting?
Well, I guess we could ask them. Did y'all
have a case?
An inspector
can ask.
We announced that, so we said you're in compliance. 206. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, it is. Okay, 206 Pierce Avenue. They say they believe we already announced the compliance, but they just came prepared
to deal
with it. And 141 Pierce
is in compliance as well.
Y'all are in compliance now, or okay.
All right. Thank you all for witnessing our meeting. Hope you enjoyed it. Any miscellaneous business from staff?
I'm thinking I can't think of anything.
You're thinking that you can't think of anything. All right.
Well, that was the... Come on now. All right. I'm thinking, period. I can't think of anything.
All right. Any items from the board, Ms. Lucas? Ms. Hines? Mr. Barnes?
No, sir.
Mr. Harrington? Mr. Smart?
No, except I don't think our chairman should be thinking about our poor attorney here.
Oh, sir.
Mr. Cino? All righty, we are adjourned. See everyone next month.
Good meeting.